Hello and welcome to our Inside Consulting podcast series. I'm your host, Benoit Laclos, and I'm the UK and Ireland Managing Partner for Consulting at EY. Here at EY, we share one central purpose, to build a better working world. We strive to do what it takes to empower our people with the right mindset and skill to navigate what's next. We recruit, motivate, and grow our people and teams so that they become the transformative leaders the world needs and build their own exceptional EY experiences and unique careers. This podcast series focuses on our consulting service line and covers a range of topics. You will learn how we're transforming businesses through the power of people, technology, and innovation. Each episode brings together our people sharing their career stories and perspective about what it's like to be here at EY. We hope each episode leaves you feeling inspired and considering a career with us as we're actively recruiting. In today's episode, I'll be talking to Lopa Ghosh and Rebecca Cunningham about how you can grow your technology career at EY. So welcome to you both, and thank you for joining us today. How are you?
Good, thank you. It's Friday, it's sunny, it's a wonderful day.
Absolutely, echo Lopa.
Well, brilliant. Well, let's start with some intro. Maybe Lopa first?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Benoit. So my name is Lopa Ghosh. I am the UK and I cybersecurity leader within technical consulting. And I've been with the firm for about 13 years now. So I've been at EY for quite a while. It's the place I've stayed the longest. And I've had a bit of a peppered past, but I think we'll get into that as we go through the discussion, I think. But very happy to be here today.
Brilliant. Rebecca?
Thanks, Benoit. Hi, everyone. Rebecca Cunningham. I am a manager in our UK FSO practice, focusing on capital markets technology solution delivery. I've been with EY for 7 years now, joined actually as an intern up in our Leeds office, and then came down to London and has been on the technology programme here in the UK FSO practice ever since.
Great. Well, so your journey at EY started a few years ago. What were your motivation for joining? What was it that attracted you to EY? Maybe Rebecca.
Thanks, Benoit. Yeah, sure. Happy to. Well, I was actually studying mechanical engineering at Leeds, and I joined EY, as I mentioned, on my internship. And really, it was the people, the teams that we were able to build and how we collaborated to solve business problems with our clients. And that's what's kept me here ever since.
And Lopa?
So actually, I joined EY on my fourth attempt of trying to join, which was quite funny. So I applied to an internship when I was at university, didn't get it. I applied to be part of the accountancy scheme randomly, actually. When I left university, didn't get it. I was not destined to be an accountant. And then when consulting restarted back in the UK, I actually applied at that point. And I got through the door. I got to MLP. It just opened. I got to the ninth floor. It was great. But at the time, I was quite an inexperienced consultant. So they said, go away, get some experience and come back again. Came back again, and I've been here ever since. So I think it was just something about the culture and, you know, four-time trying. I really wanted to be here, so I'm really happy to be here. Maybe that makes me a bit weird, but there we go.
Perseverance. I think you've done it as many times as our previous chairman, Mark Weinberger, I think, who applied and got in three or four times in his career at EY.
Yeah.
So did you always know you wanted to pursue a career in technology?
I kind of fell into it, actually. So some of it's actually cultural. So I come from an Asian background. Sometimes people think I'm Mexican, but I'm actually Indian. And STEM careers are incredibly important if you come from that background. So my brother went into medicine. And actually, Dad didn't want him to go into medicine. He wanted to be an engineer. So he actually bucked the trend. So I had to do maths, basically, because he went into sciences. I had to do maths. And because of that, I ended up doing an economics degree. And then from the very first moment I started doing that, I started coding. Not the type of coding the kids do today, but when back in my day, I was coding databases, I was doing all that sort of thing. So I would say I fell into it. And somehow over the course of my many years of my career, everything has been around technology, whether it's being a database administrator, creating performance maps, doing process analysis and function analysis around big IT transformations, and now currently cybersecurity. It's odd. Everything I've done has got me here to this day. Did I plan it? No. Do I really enjoy it? Absolutely. But it's quite nice you fall into this type of stuff, like I did.
Oh, brilliant. And what about you, Rebecca?
Yeah, Yeah, thanks, Benoit. I guess I'd also say I fell in, whether that's the right thing or just the trend. But I had a science and math love ever since I was a kid. So I went off to do engineering. That sort of intrigued me for a few years. And then I found EY and the sort of speed and execution that we were able to deploy with our teams and our people. And I haven't been able to look back since. I think technology has been, especially when we look at the financial services industry, it's a growing trend, and they may not always be at the front of it, but certainly it continues to be at the center of all of the problems that we're looking to solve.
Well, thank you. Now, let's talk a little bit more about your respective roles. What do you actually do specifically? Can you share with our listener a bit more about what you do?
Sure. So I work in, as I mentioned, technology solution delivery. So what does that mean? We are delivering or supporting our clients with technology-based or centered problems in large-scale financial institutions. I've been fortunate enough to spend most of my career in one particular client, but that may sound a little bit same day to day, but they are actually huge organizations that have, front, middle, and back office teams that all require different sets of skill sets and different capabilities that we can bring. So we've done everything from a new workflow rollout to understanding the risks and controls and how they can improve those, if that gives you a bit of a flavor.
And what do you enjoy most about this role?
What do I enjoy most? Pre-COVID, I would have said the travel, if that's still fair. I do miss it though. I think that the ability to connect with people from different parts of the world, the global nature of what we do, has always been something that's excited me.
Great. And Lopa, similarly, you've talked about cybersecurity. What does that mean? What do you do on a normal day?
So in terms of the cyber side, as I said, I'm competence leader for cybersecurity, and what that means on a day-to-day basis. So actually, what is cybersecurity? Essentially, cybersecurity is securing systems, people, and processes against attack. That's the simplest way to put it. And it's in today's society, probably one of the most important ways of protecting countries and humans against anything that happens today. So it's all about education and things like that. And my role is growing and supporting the growth of our cybersecurity business within our technology business over the next few years. And it's super exciting. I mean, we as EY have made huge investments in tech. Benoit, I see you smiling and everything, but we're acquiring amazing companies, and we hope to do the same. And cyber has to be the forefront of that. So my role day to day, as well as serving our clients, as well as advising them on the right strategies to protect themselves and go forward, is also about creating and developing a team of people that are going to take it above and beyond. We've got amazing growth ambitions, which I'm really happy to be part of. And it's also about creating a space where everyone can come. So technology in totality still seems to be a little bit of a secret squirrel thing. You either have to be born into it or fallen into it, and people don't often think that they can go into a career in technology or cybersecurity going forward. And so creating that space where people can build, come, develop their careers and learn new skills, and is kind of what I do every day.
So you mentioned people a lot, Lopa. Do I need to ask you what you enjoy most?
I think it's do you know what, actually it's not the people, although the people are great. It's actually seeing a business growing, being part of that, building our solution. 4 or 5 years ago we had a cyber business, but now we have a cyber business, and it's wonderful seeing and within our technology consulting and with what we're trying to do, it's great seeing how it all links together.
And
And
so
people.
maybe if I can drill down a bit more for each of you, but maybe starting with Lopa, what types of challenges, what's a big issue in your role, a big challenge that you have to overcome?
It's around getting access to the right people. I think that's the biggest thing. So, especially around cybersecurity, because of how it's grown up in the industry, it tends to be a very certain type of person that's there. And trying to get into the industry can be incredibly hard due to a number of reasons: training, access to opportunities, and also getting the right opportunities to learn. So the biggest challenge we have, well, there's two big challenges. Number one, we are absolutely running hot and we can't get enough people to service our clients right now. Our business is running super hot, but we can't get the right people to come join us. And that's not because we're not amazing. We are. That is an industry-wide problem. So stuff like this, what we're doing today, is really helpful because it's not about growing the industry and the people just for ourselves. It's actually creating a platform that, you know, overall the industry can grow and together, because we'll all benefit from that. And so that is the biggest challenge, I think, two of the biggest challenges we've got right now.
Thank you. And Rebecca, for yourself?
So I think some of the challenges certainly that I see from a solution delivery perspective are some of the people aspects that Lope has touched upon. So the cultural adoption, removing legacy systems often means that actually you have this sort of clash between people and technology. And we as EY can be there to support both the business and technology in getting a better understanding of how it can positively impact their business. So I think that's been certainly something that I've seen over the last few years.
So you've both mentioned COVID. How has it impacted your role or the industry you're working in, I guess, maybe starting with you, Rebecca?
Sure. So I don't think it's unknown to everyone how the FS industry has been impacted by COVID, but it was certainly a busy few months. All of our clients were immediately rolling out different plans globally to support, whether that was some of the UK efforts, the different loan schemes that were going on globally, and the ability to be able to do that at scale quickly was something that actually, when we look at the corporate wholesale industry or even into the capital markets area, hadn't been done before. So banks sort of switched on their transformation agendas into overdrive. And we were there to help them with that. And it was a very exciting part. But I think now how you maintain that level of transformation and the speed and pace that they've been able to deploy at in a sustainable manner is going to be the sort of next and beyond challenges that we face.
Great. And Lopa, you've already mentioned that everybody is attacking everybody during the pandemic. Anything else that has impacted your work in the last 15 months?
I think a positive impact, if there can be a positive impact of COVID around, is that actually this has allowed us to service our clients probably more globally than we could have done previously. When you remove this sort of barrier of like, I have to be there in order to solve the problem, actually what we've been able to do with the increase in attacks is provide a much more rounded solution to our clients by bringing in everybody at the right time and huge amounts of collaboration over the course of the pandemic. You know, do I wish that we could have done it without this pandemic? Absolutely. That's not the reason why we should have done it. But the fact that we've been able to do that and meet our client requirements and bring a really well-rounded solution, I think, has been phenomenal for us and actually increased our opportunities for growth.
I totally agree. And we've even seen many clients collaborating with each other. And I know at EY, we've orchestrated many networking sessions between clients so they could share learnings, be it on cyber or be it on operational impact. So it's been fabulous to see our the world and people have come together as a result.
Yeah.
Now, what excites you most about the future of working in a technology role at EY? Maybe Lopez to start with.
Our ambitions for growth, actually, to be there at the forefront of shaping what we do and how we go forward. And technology, and Rebecca, you mentioned it earlier, it's changing every day. You know, and I used to work on old school R3 systems in SAP, and you know, you'd sit there and all these like really sort of clunky things that you would do. And that was amazing at the time. And you know, fast forward today, that's boring. So for me, it's around helping shape and be part of that solution. And I think, you know, the work that we do, our clients come to us for our opinion. And, you know, therefore, we've got to have an opinion. So therefore, we've got to really be on it. And just so for me, that exciting thing of bringing cyber technology together and creating that holistic, which is a very consultative word, that full-on solution and seeing how we're growing is something that's really exciting to me. And I've been really lucky to be part of three really exciting growing businesses at EY. First when I joined, then I was over in the US for a bit and back here. And that for me is probably the most exciting thing I get to do in my job.
Brilliant. And what about you, Rebecca? What excites you about working in a technology role at EY?
Well, look, I think Lopa definitely hit the nail on the head. The fact that technology is constantly changing. We look at my short career within EY and it's just grown immensely as to how it's being used in the market, how our clients are approaching the topic of technology and the different aspects that that has. But for me personally, what that means is continuously learning. it's not going to be the same in 5 years' time. I'm going to have to learn something new. And that's a really exciting part of the job, that there's going to be something else that's going to challenge me and move things forward.
Thank you. Thank you both. Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the misconceptions about the technology role. So some people will argue you need to come from a technology background, having learned coded at school or at university, to succeed in the tech space. Would you agree?
Having done some coding, it's difficult to answer that one without saying that's certainly been something that I've enjoyed and I've dived into, and it's been helpful in terms of understanding the sort of logic aspects that go with that. But there are so many fantastic consultants across our firm that don't come from that background. And there's a huge amount of learning that we do internally within the firm that's offered externally, where you can just continue to keep your finger on the pulse. What is going on in technology? What do you want to learn? How do you want to approach it? You don't have to be a coder, but you do have to have an enthusiasm and passion for the topic. I think that's where it's going to have to come from.
Right. And for people that have not come from a technology background, what would you say, which skill sets are important? What have you seen succeed around you?
For me, I always go on to the softer skill sets. I think things like resilience and the ability to build relationships. And that doesn't always mean being the most extroverted person. It actually can be those individuals that are really delivering, providing, you know, client service, that we then continue to build stronger relationships with our clients.
Great. And Lopa, are you coming from an economics background?
Yeah.
Into cyber, how relevant were those skills? And you know, are you able to combine the financial aspects with what you do for our clients?
Yeah, I think I just want to sort of touch on the misconception piece if I can. I think there's a misconception that you have to be look a certain way and you have to have a certain background around coding, computer science, and there still is a misconception when we recruit that you've got to have that. And Rebecca, you hit the nail on the head. There are so many different ways to get in technology that you don't have to be a coder. And I think that's what stops people sometimes. They think technology and they think I have to be hands-on coding something. Actually, you could be in process, you could be in functional design, you could be in so many different aspects, which means you have a career in technology. And then that rounded skill set is what brings you to it. And I think, you know, as an industry and doing things like this around advertising the fact that, oh, you can come into it at any stage, and you just touched it. You know, I got into cybersecurity only about 8 years ago. So I didn't start in this. I came into it because I had a process background. I have an operational transformational background. I have a program management background. I have a process background. And all of those skills were required to get into the industry around cybersecurity. Now, I'm not a pen tester. I don't code in cyber. What I do, though, is build that entire solution and support our clients through that. And so that's another way into the industry. So I think those different skill sets, you know, resilience, as you said, cognitive and, you know, practical thinking. But I do think I'd agree with Rebecca 100% around the passion. If you're not passionate about it, then you won't have that willingness to learn. But if you have a little spark, we can latch onto that spark and we can support you in your growth.
Right. And look, I guess to touch on that, most of the technology and solutions that we implement with our client, at our clients, are still to be interacted by people. And at some point in the process, there's human interaction. And I guess others, you both talk about soft skills, are important are those, because in the end, our clients are generally human beings still for now. And we have to work with people and people in the organization to ensure that the change we're making stick.
I think the technology is changing because the technology is way more cognitive. So if anyone remembers old AS400, where you sat there and you're putting a code in and a something, and someone's probably doing an old typewriter motion, where you really had to understand everything. And then you moved on to the new versions of that, but you still had to really understand the technology and understand how it all worked in order to run it. Nowadays, the public does not expect to understand the technology in order to interact with it. And that's why the people and the human aspect becomes more and more important. I mean, how often do you go onto a website, or you get a new phone, or you get something like that? There are no instruction manuals anymore on how to interact with technology. And so that sort of cognitive thinking about how the human being and how the new generations of people are going to be interacting with it is so important. And having that diversity of thought, diversity of thinking, and for me, I think is really, really important about solutioning. And that's, again, why you have this, such a great opportunity for people to come into tech.
Thank you, Lopa. And anything to add to this, Rebecca?
Yeah, no, sure. So I think from a client perspective, some of the points that Lopa touched on earlier, whether that's the program project management aspect, whether that's functional testing, you're going to need to be interacting with people. So the ability to clearly articulate messages, solve problems together is going to be important. But actually, even when we look internally within the firm, our teams, we don't go to clients as single individuals. We go as full teams. We go as the whole firm. And actually, a huge amount of the value that we can bring is by connecting, you know, across service lines, across sub-service lines, which for those of you that aren't aware, I'm sure there'll be more information to come. But how we bring the full value of the firm is a really important aspect. And our teams and connecting with people there is going to be able to do that.
Brilliant. So is there anything that has surprised you about working in a technology role at EY?
I think, well, mostly what we've touched on so far is that I did walk in a little bit worried that I needed to be a coder. And that was, you know, a very young, fresh out of university Rebecca. And I think what Lopa and I have been reflecting over the last 15 minutes or so, the conversation is that I didn't need that. And it took me a little bit of time to feel that space out and that there was learning and other people, role models available to help me get to the point that I felt confident working in technology and calling in that. I have younger siblings who I have to explain quite regularly to what I do at EY. I don't know if any of you had to go through this. It's quite a challenge. So even going through that journey has been helpful to make me feel that, you know, I do have a career in technology and I belong there.
Fabulous. And low.
Interestingly, I was talking to my mum yesterday and she goes, "What do you do again?" And she goes, "You know this. You ask me every single day." It hadn't come into that piece. And I think one, that my mother still after doesn't know what I do, but two, the fact that people are still surprised to have a career in technology. I think that's the biggest surprise. I mean, technology's been around, you know, since for eons, yet it still seems to be an industry where people are surprised to find themselves unless they really choose to be there. So I think for me that is, you know, feeding on that surprise and turning it into something a bit more, you know, sustainable is probably what really excites me. Surprises me, sorry.
And talking about surprises, on this panel, I've got two women technologists, and that's unfortunately quite a rare thing. And in your experience, how can we change this? How can we encourage more women to play big roles in tech?
I think the first thing is around not relying on the women to encourage women into technology. I mean, it's wonderful that both Rebecca and I are here, but that is because we're both here because we've worked really hard to be here. I think that's a fair thing to say. But we need to have a full, you know, integrated and allies to encourage people into the business. That some of the main reasons why women in particular don't join technology is because of who they see aren't role models. And also who they do interact with are not encouraging of different skill sets. And then also there's this old adage of I have to be 100% qualified to enter into technology versus if I can spell it, I can have a career. So I think if together as a whole, you know, men, women, animals alike, create an inclusive environment where everyone can shine and that people want to be in, we will crack that. But it takes a lot of self-reflection. It takes a lot of people thinking about how they're interacting with others to bring that in. But it can't be the women alone. It has to be everybody.
Thank you. And Rebecca?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Lopez just sparks an idea of a Women in Technology Puppy Day, which I think would be fabulous. But that aside, I think Lopez touched on the key points. But for me, it becomes two things. One, from the top down, so representation really does matter, and ensuring that we have leaders across the firm that can act as role models, both men as allies and women too, that support the sort of future way that we want to grow our firm. But also when we look to our graduates and those coming in at more junior levels and even beyond that, how can we support our communities and schools and individuals that aren't just doing STEM subjects, but are more broadly through the education system? And we do a huge amount of that within the firm too. So I think those together are really going to help us.
Great, thank you. So let's talk a little bit about that career development and the building diverse and inclusive team being key to success. Across your time at EY, have you been given the support to develop your career?
Sure. I was going to jump in before you even let me. Absolutely. I think it comes in many different ways. And I like to split it out into four categories. One is sort of coaching, and that is regularly available within the firm, whether that's a more senior individual. Partners make the time available to us to be able to help develop our skill sets and coaching. The other is network. I mean, we have 250,000 size firm globally, and you do feel the power of that. But at the same time, it does feel like a small family. My home team, I know really well, and those around technology consulting, you do just build that out over the years. And then the other piece is formal learning. So we have been rolling out agile qualifications across our FS consulting team that are externally recognised, as well as sort of knowledge within the firm. Benoit, I'm sure you'll touch on at some point the tech badges that we've been doing and the tech MBA, which is just such a fantastic opportunity for our individuals across EY to be recognised for their new skill set. So that formal learning is there, but I wouldn't. The coaching and network piece is always going to be an important part of growing our careers too.
Brilliant. And what would you look at?
I think one of the most, I'd say yes. The reason why it's reluctant, yes, because I don't think it has always been, we haven't always got it right. And I think it's important to acknowledge it, because by not getting it right, we're starting, we get it right now. Do we get it right 100% of the time? Maybe not, because it's all about individuals. But I would say over 13 years, the fact that I've been able to have been three teams, work globally, have access, and I think you said it right, Rebecca, coaches. The most learning I've had around developing my career is about having people that are really invested in my career and coaching and mentoring me. The technical side of stuff, yeah, that's great, but we can do that. But I think for me, the career development is really about listening to stories, getting advice, and receiving coaching. And I've been really grateful to have some amazing coaches and mentors, sometimes when I didn't even want it, while I've been through the firm. But that is what's been really, really helpful for me, because that's where it's through those coaches and mentors is what's helped me develop my career. Not so much the technical side, which I've needed, but it's more about someone providing me an opportunity to try something new and have faith in that I can do it and give me the space to fail is where I think the most career development for me has happened. And as I said, I've been here for quite a while, from the beginning of when we created advisory to where we are today, and seen every single iteration. You know, the fact that I'm still here, I think, shows that we get it right sometimes.
And Lopa, maybe specifically for you, as a competency leader, you're running a team that's growing fast and doing super well. How do you personally continue to develop talents?
Mm-hmm. So what we've, and especially, and as Rebecca, you've mentioned it before, in such a growing industry, the first thing that we're doing is understanding what skills do we need to understand in the next 2 to 3 years, because what we need to know today is not what we're going to need tomorrow. And that doesn't mean if you, Benoit, only know how to do one thing that you're not going to be useful from 2 years' time. So it's providing that plan for, you're fantastic at what you do, so why shouldn't you be fantastic in 2 years' time doing the new thing? So providing that, having a future forward view of what is required and providing that training and skills plan to get to the technical side of it. And I think also providing career aspirations to promote through the firm as well, because we need to build the pipe, not just around recruitment. We have to build our own talent as we go through, and providing them with space. And the technical side, as I said, usually takes care of itself. And I'm really proud that we've really invested, we've managed to secure nearly 300% more learning budget than we had the previous year, and securing it next year, which means every single member of our team will get an accreditation or a certification, usually in something they had no idea that they were going to do. So we've really given the opportunity, but also provide that career development plan to get to partner. who get to wherever they want to get to, and the different sorts of skills that they might need that they won't necessarily always get access to.
Thank you. As we approach the end of our podcast, I've got two more questions for each of you, and maybe short and snappy on that one. What's your proudest moment whilst working at EY? Maybe starting with you, Loka.
Oh, blimey. So my typical answer to this is I've not had it yet. And the reason is because I have so many that tomorrow something else will happen. But I think one of the proudest moments to date is we've launched a really amazing cyber grad scheme, and the level of diversity and skill set that we've got through us, you know, our, both our intakes, we're back into our third intake. If you looked at that grad scheme, you wouldn't typically say it's cybersecurity because of some of the perceptions, but they are an amazing set of people that are phenomenal. I think that is the proudest thing.
That's brilliant. And what about you, Rebecca?
Mine is hands down my first deployment weekend. It always will be. Mainly because I remember being on three different forms of communication with a team in five different locations, and we just aced it. We got to Sunday morning. That's not a normal, but Sunday morning, and the system was ready to go live and the bank could start working from Monday. And it was just the excitement that you could feel despite not necessarily being with that whole team. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like that. And finally, maybe to Rebecca first, what's the one piece of advice you'd share if someone is looking to start their career in technology? What would you say to them?
So short and snappy, I think we've touched on it a few times, but find your passion. Find, you know, what it is that you want to go after, and the firm will support that. We're very open to different backgrounds coming in, whether that's how you've been brought up culturally or whether that's the education and qualifications that you've got. We want talent that is willing and passionate to work with our clients and solve business problems.
And what about you, Lopa? One piece of advice.
Don't be scared. If you want to go for it. There's always an opportunity for you.
Fabulous. Well, look, thank you very, very much for your time today. I really enjoyed our conversation. I look forward to catching up with each of you very soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Benoit. Thanks, Lopa.
If you're feeling inspired and want to find out more about a consulting career at EY, search EY Careers in Consulting online. Thank you for listening and take care. Goodbye.